بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبله وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده، الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وأجزت عن نأته أوهام الواسفين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب إله رب العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، سيما بقية الله العظم، بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين، ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في محكمه الكتاب المجيد: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوا بها، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلاة على محمد وعلى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. We've been blessed to discuss the phenomena of brotherhood in the Epic of Karbala for the sixth night. In order to understand the essence of brotherhood, the reality of brotherhood, it was very important to go through the discussions that we had. If we get the understanding of the divine reality, which in true sense is the essence of brotherhood, then it becomes easier for us to really understand what brotherhood means. Not only it becomes easier for us to understand what brotherhood means, it will be difficult for us to come out of that relationship of brotherhood. So the aim of our discussions is not just to provide a lip service to the reality, to the truth of brotherhood, but rather it is by understanding we bring that truth and reality to our life, to our communities, so that our community becomes a true community, so that our community really reflects that community of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, that they sacrificed their life in the plain of Karbala. So that our community really becomes that community who are the true faithful supporters of the Imam of the time. And that will happen through the deeper understanding of this reality, of this truth of brotherhood. That is the purpose. After having discussions on the existence of this reality, of this truth that exists, which we call phenomena, and the possibility of us to be exposed, to experience, to intervene and enter this reality that is unseen and that is existing, we were looking at what are the ways and methodology of reaching its goal, its purpose, its zenith, how we could really reach that. Last night, we said the methodology that has been prescribed, if we reflect and contemplate and ponder upon the on these verses and hadith, we come to the understanding that knowing of the self is the quickest way, knowing of the self is the best way, to reach that goal, to reach that reality, that phenomena. What is that? What is knowing of the self? What is ma'rifat of the nafs? Means that we distance ourselves from the materiality, from the madde, from the matter. We distance ourselves from our own desires, in the nutshell. And why did we say that this is the best way, this is the simplest way, this is the quickest way? Because when we start to investigate the things that are around us, even if that be a religious law, still that is distance from us. But this nafs or this reality is to our face, that we cannot deny. And while doing so, we pointed out to that the most important act in knowing of the self is sincerity, is khulus. What is sincerity? What is khulus? Khulus and sincerity means that I act only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else and no one else. And then we mentioned the three types of worshippers: those who worship for the sake of Jannah, those who worship for the fear of hellfire, but those who worship for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to look into this aspect of sincerity a bit more while comparing the discussions that have been done by Allama in the Risale Wilaya and also in another of his lessons, which was a commentary upon the treatise of Bahrul Ulum. In order to look at the phenomena of ikhlas, of sincerity, we said the best way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really that you reject all the awsaf and qualities of God. When this is hadith, you know, when asked about God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Amirul Mumineen, he says, Nafi an sifat. You gotta nafi, you gotta deny all the qualities to God. And this is what we recite every morning as a khutbah, which is the verses from the dua of our fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. It says, Alhamdulillahi awwalihi bila awwalin kana qabla wa akhirihi bila akhirin yakunu ba'da alladhi qasurat an ru'yati absarun nazirin. The nazar, nobody could really witness what is this haqq, what is this reality, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointing out to in that direction. And also the qualities, awhamul wasifin, you know, the sifat that are given to us, nobody could really do that. You know, he is first, but before the first. Before that, anything, if you count that as a number, before that. So now what's happening is that if I am a sincere servant, if I am worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will not be veiled by any of the descriptions given to me in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma arrifni nafsak is that nafs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, make me understand ma'rifat, understand your nafs, the essence of God. And we gave the example that when the brothers of Yusuf, they saw Yusuf first, and then they say, are you Yusuf? Then they remember the qualities of Yusuf later. So it's knowing that truth in essence. So when we bring this down to in our actions, when we bring this down in our actions, in our thoughts, in our understanding, then we will not be veiled. We will not start worshipping the law itself. We will not start worshipping what we have understood, the misconception that we have in regards to our deen. Simple example is usually in regards to that we could understand. For example, I have a way of doing azadari of Imam Hussein. I want to do it that way. This becomes an idol for me. This becomes a but. This becomes a problem in the end, that I will not do any other way. That is the way it should be done. I'm sort of like stuck with this understanding that I have. And other people who are commemorating and doing, for example, azadari, a person who is in the corner and just doing matam slowly, you know, but a person who is in the middle of the halakha and really going wild, the person who is really going wild will say, oh, these people, you know, they don't love Imam Hussein, they don't have iman, you know, they're just doing slowly, slowly. So this love and azadari for Imam Hussein that I have, the act, the good act that I am doing, the mustahab act that I am doing, is it really making me reach that purpose, that goal? Or is it becoming an idol? Is it becoming a hurdle for me to see the truth? So therefore, when a person embarks upon this journey to know the reality, the phenomena as we are talking about, that sincerity is required, that this is for Lillah, is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else, nothing else, even not for Jannah, even not that I enter paradise, even not that I be fearful of the hellfire. This path or this journey have to take a route, have to take a way, a method. And that is nothing but in the ideological sense or in the conceptual sense, it's going away from our nafs in order to know ourselves, stepping, you know, taking a step behind, through the implementation of the ahkam-e-ilahi, through night vigils. Now, one might raise their hand and say that, you know, you just mentioned that one should not be attached to any method, then you yourself is asking that you should really follow a method. To answer that question, my submission, my application to this method is not my method, but is that divine method. God have showed me this path. This is the way to reach me. So when I'm using that, I'm not using it in order that I reach the goal, that I achieve that state of immateriality, that tajarrud of nafs, which we discussed last night of Qazi. Wow, that's a great quality. Let's do it. Okay, now, in order to achieve that quality, that I do tahlul arz, that I travel, I do the astro body traveling, or I be in two places at one time, that's so powerful. Let's do that. It's so spiritual, it's so great. So, for that, I am fasting, for that, I am praying, for that, I am crying. This is once again that very but. They ask Allama Tabatabai, Mahir Taban, that's the book. There's an interview with Allama in regards to the Tahlul Arz and the reality of it, what it is. He describes it, he explains it, what does it really mean, traveling fast, you know, Tahlul Arz, which means that a person travels so quick that he reaches in no time, you know. They say, in Male Pirezanast, you know, Tahlul Arz Male Pirezanast. You know, which means that this is for old ladies, you know, this is not the purpose, this is not the goal, that we reach here, we are sitting in, Qum, and right the next minute we are in Najaf. Wow, what a ziyarat of Imam Hussein to Imam Raza. It's so great. We could do that. That's not the purpose and that's not the goal. These things come automatically as I am distancing myself from this material realm, as I am distancing myself from my eyes. I'm not seeing. I could see, but God say not see. So I'm not seeing. When I'm not seeing, because God is saying not see, Allah will show me the things automatically. That's a reaction. It will happen. But the point is, when I start seeing that, still I should not see. Then Allah will show me another divine reality. So it just goes on. Because the darajat of perfection and the immaterial world is infinite. He manifests in different forms and realities. Wasn't that Hur al-Ain which came to Allama when he was doing the zikr? Very famous, everybody knows that, but just repeating for some of those who doesn't know. Qazi gave a zikr to Allama Tabatabai and he asked him to do the zikr. And Allama started doing that zikr and he saw the Hur al-Ain descending from the heaven. She came with a goblet of drink, which was Sharaban Tahura. And Qazi said, pay no attention to anything that you see. That's an ecstasy, because when a person chants, he enters into a realm of spirituality. It happens. And I don't want to get into the discussion of whether there are certain prescribed way from the Ahl-e Bayt alayhim salam, and there are certain non-Islamic unprescribed ways that we do find, and people do enter that realm. For example, they talk about, I know someone who does voodoo or who does trout and things like that. They can see the spirits, they can see the grand, they call the ruh and all. I'm not getting into that. And there is some truth to it that could be discussed later on. Here, Allama was doing the zikr and that spiritual being descends from the heaven. Now, this is Hur al-Ain with that goblet. But it is not really Hur al-Ain. It is manifestation of that Jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of Hur al-Ain. So if I'm stuck with the Hur al-Ain, then how will I be able to see the Jamal? How will I be able to see the beauty of God? However, this Jamal, which is manifested in the form of Jannatun Tahti Min Tajri al-Anhar, it is for the Mumineen. It is for them indeed. And it has a reality. It is haqiqat. There is truth to it. It has feeling. It is not just a dream or something that have no feeling. For example, if I heard someone in the dream, next day I see him, he will be normal. But in the dream I slapped him and he was bleeding. It's not that. That thing that is manifested, for example, in that form of Hur al-Ain or Jannat un tajri min tahti al-anhar, that is reality, that is haqiqat, that is truth. That is why Allama responds when he was asked that, were you upset about anything in your life? Then he says that, yes, I was upset when this whole episode happened and I didn't really looked or paid attention to this creature or to this being that came from the heaven for me, but I didn't utilize. So that being which came wasn't a lucid sort of form, or wasn't like a dreamy form that have no sense of perception. No, that was real and true. It wasn't the projection of Allama Tabatabai, because people tend to think that it's the projection of the mind. That's what dreams are. Dreams are like, the data that during the day that your mind takes, and when you go to sleep, it just projects. There's truth to it, but when a person is awake and things are different, that are mukashafat. Those are the real and divine realities. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So therefore, rejection, taking a step backward from the things which are outward, things which are zahir, and implementing that very zahir with sincerity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there be any much more greater truth to what I know, I will accept that. That is why Allah Ta'ala in Mizan, when he explains or when he does the tafsir of Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, he says, guide me to the right path. But some have said that, no, you know, we are the Shias and we are on the right path. So it means that, you know, you keep us on the right path. But Allama says it's Ihdina, because this Sirat is indeed, we are on the right path. But this Sirat have darajat. This Sirat have levels. So I'm just stuck to that, then I will be la hukma illa lillah type of mentality. So therefore, sincerity means that. Now, Allama in the lessons of, or the in the commentary of Risale Bahrul Uloom that has been translated, you could refer to the book Kernel of the Kernel. I think Sunny Publication have translated that. Anyway, in that he discusses, it's a very detailed discussion, obviously, you know, it cannot be dealt with in one night or two night. That requires in itself lengthy discussions. But may Allah help me here. What I'm trying to do is that to summon these things and kind of present in our discussion in a way that you could have an overall understanding of what the discussion is all about. As he is discussing ikhlas, right? Ikhlas is like a tool, is like a method, is like, you know, I have to have this ikhlas, this sincerity in the actions that I'm doing. These actions are for what? The first thing is Islam. Actions about Islam. Then he kind of looks into this Islam, have different levels to it, as it is Ihdana Sirat al-Mustaqim. The Islam has different levels to it, where he points out to, or the scholar points out to, that is, there's Islam which is Islam-e Akbar. You know, Islam-e Akbar, that very beginning of it that I accept, but at the same time it hasn't entered my heart as such. And perhaps here, if I put the commentary or the writings of Allama Tabatabai in Risale Wilaya next to what he has mentioned in Lubbe Lubab, it makes sense. And that is, in Risale Wilaya he says that, you know, why we are having this difficulty of understanding in regards to the verses of the Quran and Hadith that people are talking about, that it has this deeper meaning to it, you know, ma'rifat al-nafs and spiritual meaning to it. But at the same time, you know, people, lay people, other people, they do not really get into that. But only a few kind of focus on that. Why is that? It is because the way I am perceiving, how I perceive this verse, what is my perception of this hadith, and the proper, deeper interpretation of it, I have the knowledge and I have the understanding, I'm doing that. And most of us, most of the people are only paying attention to the outward aspect so that, you know, they do their thing. They want to do their own thing, but at the same time they want to have, you know, practice a bit of Islam. Because they are preoccupied at night with how what the day gonna unfold tomorrow in regards to their business. They're not preoccupied with, you know, night vigil and, you know, reciting Surah Sajda or Salatul Layl. You know, most of them are only preoccupied with tomorrow, what's gonna happen and how I'm gonna go to work and, you know, how I will, you know, make my deal and so on and so forth. And not all of them are really. So when these people are said that, okay, if you do this, you will get Jannah, you know, they will practice that way, you know, they will just do that. And sometimes they don't, sometimes they flip, you know, and sometimes they do. Then this could be categorized as those people, if I may say, that they are, this is Islam-e-Akbar. This is like just that providing that lip service. And we have seen, for example, you know, there's a sister who wants to get married to a non-Muslim. The guy comes and he says, you know, the marriage should be performed. He just say, he should recite the Shahada. You know, Kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Okay. He's Muslim now. Izdivaj is okay. Marriage is okay. He's Islam-e-Akbar. You know, maybe he practices, maybe he doesn't. But something have to be done because my nafs is saying, I have to marry this guy. Now, as I have to marry this guy, he has to accept Islam. That's what my father is saying. I'll be in trouble. So let's say Shahada and get married and let's go, keep going. I mean, how can we, you know, have the understanding of that in-depth knowledge that they should have? Right? So now, this is Islam-e-Akbar. So then you have, on a deeper level, a person which is Iman, who brings Iman upon this Islam that is there, and it goes inside their heart, and they start practicing it. And as a matter of fact, you know, we've been asked by being a Muslim to ask for Iman. You know, there are du'as, there are different things to ask for yaqeen in our Iman as well. Allahumma inni as'aluka an tusalli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. You know, we are yaqeen fi qalbi. You know, in taqibat of Isha and taqibat of morning, we ask for that certainty, you know, in our faith. That is required to be asked. So it's not given just when I say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, oh, that certainty will sit in my heart. It's not going to happen that way, just by saying that. No, I have to seek, I have to ask, I have to go in that direction with sincerity, with ikhlas. Once again, you have that, you know, important reality phenomena of sincerity there applied. So after that, you have hijrah, you have that traveling which they call a greater traveling, hijrat akbar, that I travel, I distance myself, I exile from all of that habits, those impulsive things that exist. That, and when I travel and I apply, or when I do it, I do it with sincerity. Befarmai, this could be a habit, but befarmai lillah is something else. So when I'm doing something or embracing my daughter, my child, or the little one, or when I'm helping something, this could be a habit, but I have to do hijrat. I have to travel from this, what I'm doing. And then when I travel, and then I redo that, that is sincerely I'm doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means, I mean, just imagine, what's going on here? What are we talking about? You know, this mullah have gone crazy, you guys must be saying, and these people would have written, they have... All these things is 24/7. A person must be that sort of vigilant about this activity. I mean, it's not easy to be sahabi of Imam Hussein. It's not easy to be ashab of, you know, it's that iman. It's that faith that we have in our masumeen. They could do the magic, really. But this is the path. And we can't just relax and say, yeah, they could do the magic, just wait for that opportunity. No. It's not going to happen. We got to take that step. We got to, you know, tighten our back and go in that direction. And when we do that, then that ilaykum tafweez wa ta'weez take place. Then they will, you know, change our destiny. Ubaidullah ibn Hurajofi was asked, you come with me to Karbala. But he did not. While knowing that
He is the grandson of the Prophet. Wahab, being a Christian, not seeing the Imam, Imam asked him, come towards me. He went towards the Imam. He took that step. And then that changed into Assalamu alaikum ya awliya Allahi wa ahibba'u. So therefore, I mean, the changing of destiny and making us reach that zenith, making us reach that heights, indeed it is in the hands of the Imam. We cannot imagine. I mean, when we look at ourselves, it's really wal asr, it's khusran. Inna al-insana fi khusr, no doubt about it. And amanu aminu saliyat, what amanu aminu saliyat we are doing? It's nothing but khusran, a big time khusran. But is that iman and that faith that the Imam will do something about it, will do that magic. And all of this activity is for that. And we have to make this activity for Aba Abdullah Hussain alayhi salam with sincerity, with that ikhlas, with that truth. And I was just speaking to a brother and I was mentioning that it's a lot easier to bring that khulus to Aba Abdullah than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's something about Imam Hussain alayhi salam that a person melts, that a person, he becomes fana. When Hussein is mentioned, he is moved. And this is the activity, but has to be with that sincerity. So therefore, you have that Iman, you have that Islam, then Iman Akbar, and then you have Hijrat, which is Hijrat al-Kubra. Then you enter in the realm of Islam-e-Azam, which is the greatest level of Islam. These are all one levels, huh? Why are we discussing this? In order to look at how sincerity will play a role to enter these different realms of what we are practicing. And as they say that this Islam, which is considered to be as the greatest Islam, once they enter this, man amila salihan min dhakarin aw unatha wa huwa mu'min fanuhiyannahu hayatan tayyiba wa lanukhrijannahum ajruhum wa lanujziyannahum ajruhum bi ahsan ma kanu ya'malun. Man amila salihan, whosoever acts sincerely, righteously, whether that be zakah, whether that be male or female, wahuwa mu'min, that person, male or female, is a mu'min. And then we will provide them with a hayatan tayyaba. This hayatan tayyaba is not in credit, meaning that it will come in Jannah. Oh, hayatan tayyaba is in Jannah. No. When they are acting upon it, this hayatan tayyaba is in this very world. They will be given that hayatan tayyaba in this world. It's not something it will happen there. No. So once a person sincerely, and that sincerely is not with hijabs, keeping that in mind, but this is the method I've been asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the way that I could distance myself from my nafs, from my soul. And I'm doing that and I will be provided with an hayatan tayyaba. And this hayatan tayyaba is here. I usually give an example of this hayatan tayyaba. You know, perhaps I may be corrected on it by my elders. You know, hayatan tayyaba is a state of yaqeen as well, obviously. If I'm saying that this hayatun tayyaba is the Jannah is a state where a person is in full certainty, right? Certainty of yaqeen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Jannah.
I come to yaqeen. So hayatun tayyiba have to have the element or the ingredient of certainty in it, right? Accepted. Well said. Then a person who, a female or a male, acts righteously, amal salih, he will reach to a hayatan tayyiba. And I said it is in this dunya. The verse is, Allama also mentions this in his tafsir, is in this dunya. So where, if you look at our scholars, just we mentioned about Allama, or even today, you know, Agha Bahjat, it's the amount of certainty that they have. Many times it has occurred to you and us who have gone maybe to see Ayatollah Sistani sometimes, they had the opportunity to go do the ziyarat. We had hundreds of questions. But once we go in their presence, all questions look silly and funny. We don't really want to ask. Because it's yaqeen sitting right in front of us. Why do we want to ask? So the hayatan tayyiba, the state of certainty that this man have, is not only within him, but it is all around him. So when I enter that zone, I'm entering into the zone of certainty. And when I enter that, all doubts, that whatever I have, it's gone. But when I leave that zone, once again, all the doubts and waswas kind of comes, you know, looking for me. So how did he achieve that state of certainty? Is that amal salih which the Quran is pointing out to. So that is Islam-e-Azam. And then it goes into the, Allama goes into the deeper level of explaining, you know, in regards to Iman-e-Azam, because we have many verses which says that those who have brought Iman, bring Iman. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And Quran is such an eloquent book, it cannot repeat itself. It can't say that you have Iman, bring Iman, you know. Or for example, in Surah Fath, it says that we make the Sakina descend into the hearts of the Mumineen. So that means there are some Mumineen who doesn't have Sakina in their heart. Mumin, but they don't have Sakina. And this Sakina, which is a state of tranquility, a state of peace, it's been showered, or it goes inside the heart of the Mumineen. So this pointing out to the different levels of Iman. You know, Iman-e-Akbar and Iman-e-Azam, for instance, is for that. Once again, what is required of me? That amal khalis. That's pure and sincere action of mine is required. And at the same time, the discussion of a hijrat, of a journey, which is hijrat-e-azam or hijrat-e-azim, where a person completely distance or annihilates or become fana, which points out to ya ayyatul nafsil mutmainna irji'. This is like the ultimate, the highest daraja, which if Allah give us tawfiq, we'll look into in the coming nights. What it is, what is that state? If I carry this, what I've been prescribed by the Quran, by the Sunnah, in order to see that divine reality and divine truths, what will happen of me? Which we will look later on. But here, if you pay attention to the verses of the Quran itself, you would find that the prophets who have reached even that level of certainty are seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where do we stand when the prophets are like, and they are asking, like for example, you have the hadith which the prophet says that be careful of a shirk, of being polytheist, a subtle polytheism that exists amongst the mu'mineen, amongst those who are mu'min. For example, you know, in Surah Yusuf, there's a verse which points out to that they are mu'min, but most of them are considered to be mushrik. If you help me with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. It seems to be
that people or mu'mineen who also have iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are liable, are possible that they do shirk. So now, for example, if I thank someone, a simple example, so I should be thanking only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, period. I say someone that it is because of you that I got this job, but it is really because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I got this. So what it's trying to point out to is that shirk have different levels of it, that even people who have iman, the possibility that they could even get into the realm of shirk. Inshallah, I will use that because we don't really have much of a time. I need to wrap it up now and go towards Masaib. So, these are the different levels pointing out to. Musa, Ibrahim, hatta Yusuf asked that, walhaqni bis salihin, make me join those who are the salihin, man amala salihan, which we recited the verse. Even the prophets yearn for that position, that station, that maqam, that they want to enter, that they want to be with the salihin. What is that? Which we will look into more detail. But how is that? As a conclusion, is that amale salih and with ikhlas. That amale salih means that righteous act. And this righteous act must have the ingredient of sincerity, which is lillah, in all different levels. On the level of understanding of what this haqiqat is, what this reality is, on the level of action, that I'm doing it for whom? On the level of speech, on all different levels. And each and every individual in accordance to their capacity. A person who is a 13-year-old, when asked for death, he says it's sweeter than honey. Look at the umq, look at the in-depth understanding of death. When a child like Abul Fazl Abbas, who's been taught by the father to count numbers, oh Abbas, say one. Oh Abbas, say two. In response, Abul Fazl replies that a mouth that pronounces one, keeping in mind that one reality, doesn't look good if it pronounces two. As a child, a father is teaching him how to count, but look at his understanding, look at his ma'rifat. And here Amirul Mumineen embraces Abul Fazl Abbas. So every creation, even haywanat, even in accordance to their capacity, even that 6-month-old Ali Asghar. And we see these things. For example, a child is playing outside, and if he's told, you don't know, majlis is going on, so he, from his inside, he wants that he's missing out on something. It is important that he be here. He might not understand, but he knows that there's something going on there. Something very important. My presence here is very important. According to the intellectual capacity that they have. They say that Ali Asghar alayhi salam, who was 6-month-old. And as he wasn't calming down because of the thirst and the cries of the 6-month Asghar made the hearts of the women and children melt, and they also started crying. And here Abu Abdullah have left to the battlefield. He comes back and he inquires that, what is this sound? Why are you crying? I'm still alive. Then the women and children say that Asghar is not calming down. Perhaps you get some water for him from the Yazidi forces. And here Imam says that I know what Asghar is asking for. Asghar is not thirsty for water, but Asghar is thirsty for martyrdom. Asghar is thirsty for Shahada. Because he has to play his role in reviving the message of Deen, of Islam, in reviving the truth, in reviving that brotherhood. So when Imam Hussein takes the little Asghar, he goes towards the battlefield and he hid Asghar underneath the cloak. People thought that Imam Hussein wants to make truce with Yazid and he's bringing Quran. And as soon as he removes the cloak from little Asghar, the whole Yazidi forces were in the state of awe, in the state of shock to see the 6 month old. And Asghar and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, yes, indeed, he brought the Quran, but a Quran that speaks. And this Quran was speaking to these Yazidi forces and was asking them, not for water, but was informing them of the truth and reality that is with Hussein and the Ashab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And here when Imam Hussein raises Asghar, here Umar Saad asks Hurmala, target the neck of Asghar. Because when Asghar was raised, there was cries, there was uproar in the Yazidi forces. A revolution was about to take place. That, oh Umar Saad, oh Ibn Ziyad, what does this little babe have to do with you? Why don't you provide water to Asghar? How much of a water is required for this little Asghar? Maybe one spoon, maybe two spoons. That will quench the thirst of Asghar. Here Hurmula was asked that, oh Hurmula, target the neck of Asghar. And Hurmula was considered to be the best archman. And he has brought a three-headed arrow. And as he targets the neck of Asghar, he misses it. Then Umar Saad says, wow unto you, O Hurmula. How come you missed the target? You are supposed to be known the best. And Hurmula says, then when I was about to shoot the neck of Asghar, I saw the mother of Asghar at the doorstep of the tent. And my hand started to tremble. And that's why I missed the target. Then Umar Saad says again, Hurmula, cut the speech of Hussein that is on the hand of Hussein. And he targeted again. And this three-headed arrow pierced through the neck of Asghar. And it got embedded in the shoulder of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, leaving the neck of Asghar hanging onto the skin. And here Imam Hussein alayhi salam, with the blood-soaked body of Asghar, raises the hand towards the heaven and he says, Allahumma taqabbal minna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this shahada. We haven't seen that Hussein, when going back to the tent, have taken steps forward and backward. He has brought the body of Ali Akbar. He has brought the body of Hazrat Qasim, of all of the Shuhada. But still, he has brought the parcham, the banner of Imam Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas. He hasn't brought the body of Abbas, because that was the will of Abbas, not to take the body back. But here, when Asghar is taking the body, when Hussein is taking the body of Asghar towards the tents, he moves forward. He says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And he takes steps behind for 7 times. He couldn't really go and deliver Asghar in the lap of Umm Rabab, in the lap of Sakina. Allah la'natullah ala qawm al-zalimeen say'alamu al-ladhina zalamu ayyimun qalibin yanqalibun. Inna lillahi وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجَعُونَ بِفَاطِمَةَ وَأَبِيهَا وَبَالِهَا وَبَنِيهَا وَسِرَّ الْمُسْتَوْدِعَ فِيهَا فَأَجِبْنَا يَا اللَّهُ 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 يَا رَحْمَنُ يَا رَحِيمُ يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا